Well, you've heard of the Hubble Space Telescope, but do you know just how much impact Hubble has had on our ability to visualize the universe as a result of its 25 years in space? With us to fill us in this morning is Zoltan LeVay, who works in the Office of Public Outreach at the Space Telescope Science Institute. His job is to process digital images from Hubble for print and electronic news media. He'll be speaking at this weekend's TEDxKC event at the Kauffman Center. Zolt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm glad you're with us. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Well, the Hubble telescope has a story, you know, that would make a great movie. When it was originally deployed, a major flaw was discovered. What was that, and what problem did it cause?
Yeah, it was a pretty serious problem. So with great anticipation, we launched this telescope in 1990. And once it was in orbit, they figured out that actually the primary mirror, the main thing in the telescope that collects all the light, had the wrong shape. It has a very precise shape. It was ground very precisely, but it was ground to just very slightly the wrong shape. So it was not able to focus the light as well as it should have. Fortunately, some pretty smart people figured out they could characterize the problem very accurately, and therefore they could make an optical element that would fit within the cameras in the telescope and fix that problem completely.
How do they fix it when the thing is up in space and you all are down here?
Well, some astronauts got in the space shuttle and they sent up a shuttle mission, and they figured out how they could replace some instruments and add new optics to fix the optical problem.
How big of a difference did the fix make once it was in place, Zolt?
It made all the difference. It turned the telescope into a device which wasn't operating up to its capabilities, into essentially better than it was designed to do in the first place.
Wow.
And so it's now still operating better than it's ever operated before.
I've always been confused about this. I mean, the Hubble's cameras are black and white. So how do we get those brilliant colors in the photos that it winds up taking?
Right. The cameras don't automatically produce color pictures, and that's because we want the best quality astronomical data from the cameras. And to do that, we don't want to be limited by the sorts of color technology that we have in our everyday cameras. However, there are filters within the cameras which divide up the white light that's coming into the telescope. They divide that up into various bands of color. And any camera works that way, but we have more flexibility with the cameras in Hubble. And every astronomical telescope works the same. It's not limited to Hubble. But we can break up the light spectrum into individual bands of color and then reconstruct a color image from those.
Complicated process.
It's actually pretty simple. It's actually the way our eyes work. Our eyes divide up the spectrum into bands of three bands of color, red, green, and blue. And our brains put those separate images back and reconstruct a color image from that.
You know, is there an art to taking photographs with the Hubble? How much control do you have over the process there?
We have a fair amount of control, but we like to keep it as close to the data as possible. We're trying to visualize the data. It's the same data that the astronomers use to analyze, to answer the questions they have about the universe. It's kind of a mix between subjective and objective sorts of things we do with the data. So it's a combination of art and science. The science part is reconstructing those color images. The art part is treating them as photographs. I think of them as landscape photographs of the extended landscape of the universe, and doing the same kinds of things that a photographer would do to enhance the picture.
Can you describe your own favorite photo for us? I know you've looked at a million of them, but do you have one that sort of stands out?
A couple stand out. It's, of course, hard to pick a favorite, kind of like picking your favorite child, I suppose. But one that stands out for me is a galaxy. We live in a galaxy, this giant accumulation of stars and gas and so forth. But this particular galaxy, it's called NGC 1300. It's kind of a prosaic name, but it's a what astronomers describe as a grand design spiral galaxy. And it has these very elegant spiral arms. The stars are arranged in these vast spiral arms whose shape is dictated by gravitational forces. And I just like the overall sort of elegant, dramatic look of this image. And it really demonstrates the entire sweep of the universe in one image, because we see stars that are very nearby in our own relatively nearby in our own galaxy. And we see this galaxy that the light took 61 million years to get to us.
Wow.
And then even behind that, we see even farther galaxies. So we see entire galaxies, which are as large as our galaxy, much, much farther away, billions of light years away.
You throw these terms around, and it's just astonishing to me what you're describing here. I mean, how has Hubble changed the way you visualize the universe and what's around us as you look at all this stuff?
Hubble's great advantage is because it's above the Earth's atmosphere, the atmosphere distorts and dims the light that comes to us. We don't have to deal with that, the atmospheric distortions. So the images are much clearer than you can get from telescopes on the ground. So Hubble has given us greater clarity in looking at the universe. We're able to see much more distant objects with the same kind of clarity that we would previously have only been able to see nearby objects.
Hmm.
So one of Hubble's great legacies is to observe the very, very distant universe, very close to the very beginning of everything, the Big Bang. And so we've been able to have a better understanding of the large-scale structure of the universe and how the universe has changed over cosmic time.
I mean, this is just crazy stuff. Just absolutely mind-boggling to me, and you're describing it so matter-of-factly. Is there a gee whiz aspect to all this that still grabs you as you look at all this stuff, Sol?
Oh, absolutely. Every time I look at a new image or even some of the older image, it's mind-boggling. Especially, you know, the images to me are aesthetically, you can appreciate them as visual objects, but I think you have a deeper appreciation of them when you start to really dig in and begin to understand what the images are telling us. For example, the image I described of the galaxy where we see this vast sweep of the universe, you almost get a feeling of vertigo sometimes when you're looking at some of these images, because you're looking through this unimaginably vast scale of distance. I mean, these distances and time scales are so vast, we don't have any personal experience with it. It might as well be infinity.
What difference does it make that we know all this stuff? How does this change humankind?
I think it gives us a basis. I mean, we've always been curious. Humans are naturally curious. We want to know where we came from. We want to know how we fit into the bigger picture, how we fit into the larger nature, whether it's our own region, our nation, and now extending to this vast universe. We want to understand how we fit into that, and we want to know where we're going, what's going to happen in the future. Now the time scales and distance scales, of course, we're talking about here are vastly beyond our normal human experience. But
yeah.
I think it's all connected. I mean, the other thing is that we're all connected. Nature is connected. We're made from the same stuff that stars are made of. In fact, the stuff we're made of, it was processed in stars and in vast explosions of stars. So all those kinds of things, I think, it not only satisfies our curiosity, but gives us a place to fit in to the larger universe.
We're talking with Zoltán Levay, who works in the Office of Public Outreach at the Space Telescope Science Institute. He's been working on digital images from the Hubble Space Telescope. So, you know, Zolt, when you go to a cocktail party and people figure out what you do and who you are, do you become the most popular guy in the room? People
no,
have a million questions for you.
Yeah, people certainly have questions. Where do the pictures come from? What does it all mean? Like the kinds of questions you're asking.
Yeah,
they're pretty usual questions. Yeah.
Well, the Space Telescope has afforded the answer to one of, you know, you've referred to this already, to one of the great questions among scientists, which is, how old is our universe? And the answer now is what?
13.8 billion years.
Give or take a billion, right?
Well, yeah, it is about give or take less than a billion. That's one of the achievements of Hubble, that we've been able to narrow down
13.8 billion years.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And you said a few minutes ago that we now can begin to see parts of the universe that were the results of the original Big Bang. You can maybe I'm getting that wrong. Help me with that again.
Hubble, the telescope, has actually observed objects which are a few hundred million years after the Big Bang. And so, you know, think of the time scale, 100 million years as opposed to 13.8 billion years. So that's relatively close to the beginning. Now, there's a point which we cannot see farther, closer to the Big Bang, because the universe was very different at those times. But at some point after the Big Bang, stars and galaxies began to form. And so Hubble is seeing those stars and galaxies sometime after they initially formed. But it's now at the limits of how far it can see into the deep universe.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hubble's also confirmed the existence of black holes. Do I have that right?
Yes, it showed that there are black holes in the centers of galaxies.
And what is a black hole, again, for those of us who struggle with these meaty concepts in life? Yeah.
A black hole was theorized by people like Einstein from the understanding of how gravity and light works. It's an area of space that's containing so much mass in such a small volume that the gravity there is extremely intense. I mean, we feel gravity on the Earth as the pull to down on the Earth. We throw something up in the air and it comes back down again. Well, a black hole is the gravity. That gravity is so intense that nothing can escape from that. I mean, we can shoot off rockets and send satellites into space that are essentially free of Earth's gravity. But a black hole the gravity is so intense that nothing can escape, and not even light. Light is affected by mass, by gravity. But a black hole the gravity field is so intense that light cannot escape. So we actually can't see black holes themselves, although we see lots of effects very near the black holes because of that intense gravity field. There's all kinds of energetic events happening right around the black holes.
Yeah. Well, Zsolt Levay again speaks at this year's TEDxKC event. There aren't a lot of tickets left, but there are some. Go to TEDxKC.org for more information. And by the way, KCR will have a major presence at TEDxKC's on Saturday. There will be an Airstream trailer parked on the south side of the Kauffman Center, where attendees can hear a collection of Beyond Our Borders and StoryCorps Out Loud stories. You'll see that on Saturday at TEDxKC. Zsolt, list a few more of Hubble's major discoveries.
Well, Hubble has been studying the life cycle of stars. Stars create energy by nuclear fusion. They run out of that fuel eventually, and interesting things happen. Stars form out of great clouds of gas and dust in the galaxy, and Hubble is able to study this in great detail. Again, because of the great clarity that we have, we can study these distant clouds of gas in great detail and see where new stars have formed by certain telltale signatures. So we're getting a better idea of how stars form, how planetary systems form out of those, along with those stars, and what happens to stars as they go through their life cycle. And they actually recycle the material back into space to form new stars.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to mention one more thing. Speaking of planets and planetary systems, Hubble is not the optimal machine for discovering new planets around other stars. There are other missions that have done that. In fact, NASA's Kepler mission has discovered now thousands of stars, planets around very distant stars. But Hubble is able to study those planets in some detail, especially the atmospheres of those planets in a particular way, and begin to understand the composition and nature of the atmospheres of those very foreign planets to us.
So I gather it's safe to conclude that Hubble exceeded expectations. Do I have that right, Zolt?
Oh, yes, certainly. It has exceeded expectations. The expectations were pretty high, I must say. And there were certain goals. For example, the age of the universe was a goal that astronomers had for Hubble to accomplish, and it's accomplished that. But it's certainly accomplished many things that people didn't expect. One way it's doing that is, in fact, with this archive of data that's has been accumulating for the last 25 years. And with any large assemblage of data like that, people are able to mine those data archives and come up with results that were not expected when the observations were first proposed. And they're coming up with new techniques, new algorithms, new ways to analyze the data and answer questions that they couldn't even think of asking before.
We're talking about the Hubble Space Telescope. And if you want to join our conversation here, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Besides providing so much information about the universe, how valuable has Hubble been, Zolt, when it comes to being an ambassador for space research? Because I think that role has been fairly profound as well.
I think it has ended up being something of an ambassador and getting people excited about space, about astronomy, about science in general. And certainly it's helped that it's lasted so long. There are very few space missions that last this long and are productive for this long. That's, of course, been enabled by the repair missions and the upgrade missions with the space shuttle program. But yes, I think it's achieved a certain amount of level of appreciation among the public. I think a combination of this great story, as we talked about, it had this flaw that got fixed, so it's kind of a redemption story. And, of course, the steady cadence of scientific discoveries, as well as these images that we've been fortunate to be able to produce.
You know, people strike me, they've really taken to Hubble. I mean, they're really committed to following its trials and tribulations. What have you noticed on that front?
Well, the biggest thing really probably was when after the accident with Columbia shuttle accident, NASA canceled the next servicing mission, which was going to upgrade Hubble, and there was a huge outcry from the public saying you're going to take Hubble away from us if you don't service it again. It was kind of surprising, and I think took everyone a little bit by surprise. Eventually, Congress also came into play, and eventually we did get that next servicing mission, and so we were able to keep Hubble operating. And so I think that was an interesting demonstration of the public's commitment and response to Hubble.
You know, the telescope has been photographing the universe for 25 years now, but it's actually going to cease operating eventually. What's the projected year for that, and why can't it go on for a whole lot longer?
Well, there's no real projected end of life. Hubble will keep operating as long as it can. Of course, things can happen. Things fail. But the prognosis is very good right now. The kinds of things that are expected to fail are working very well. We hope that it lasts for a while longer. In fact, we hope that it lasts long enough to work together with the next flagship mission that NASA is currently building, the James Webb Space Telescope, which will be able to do things that Hubble can't do because of its technological limitations.
Huh. How much longer do you hope Hubble goes in terms of years?
Well, they're talking about 2020, so at least 5 more years.
Yeah, okay, okay. Jason from Kansas City, Missouri. Jason, you're on with Zolt LaVey. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Go ahead.
My question is, will we ever make a telescope that can see further away than the Hubble telescope to confirm that the universe is older?
Yeah, it's a good question. In fact, we are building the next big telescope. It's called the James Webb Space Telescope, and it'll be launched in about 3 years, in 2018. And it, in fact, is designed to do what Hubble can't do, to look even farther into the universe to see. And the expectation is that we will, in fact, see the very first stars and galaxies that formed shortly after the Big Bang.
You know, here, Zolt, at KCUR, we do a series that examines the borders in our community and what needs to happen to get past them. So given that, I wanted to ask you, in your life, where did you encounter real or virtual borders that, by crossing them, it wound up changing your life?
Well, I guess the obvious one to me is happened when I was very young. I wasn't born in this country, but I came to this country. My parents brought me to this country when I was 4 years old. And who knows what my life would have been like if I had not come to this country, but certainly the opportunities afforded here and the education that I got all along the way and the opportunities that I had certainly paved the way for the career that I've had. Very rewarding.
Yeah. In your reimagining of the world, what one border would you eliminate?
I guess this is kind of fanciful, but maybe ignorance in a sense. and the interest some people have to not be curious. I think the opportunity to be curious about the world is very powerful and has certainly driven all of science throughout history.
Well, Zolt LaVey works in the Office of Public Outreach at the Space Telescopes Science Institute. He'll be speaking at this year's TEDxKC event. More information about that, TEDxKC.org. Zolt, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
You bet.
I really enjoyed it.
You bet.